So imagine you're watching your favourite band on your phone. So who are the kind of favourite bands at the moment? I probably won't know any of them, but what's your favourite band that you can imagine watching on your phone? Coldplay. Looking at Coldplay on your phone. Anybody else?
John Legend.
John Legend.
Oh yeah.
I
just feel that somebody wants to say the Human League, but they're shy. So imagine watching Coldplay, John Legend, or if you want to go way back, ABBA. You're on your phone, you're watching them. Now imagine the difference it makes when you're in the crowd live. Not just on your phone watching the video, but you're there at Wembley Arena or you're there at Wembley Stadium and you're in the crowd. Suddenly that performance has a lot more joy to it, a lot more excitement to it. Everything gets magnified in real life compared to what you can experience on TV or a playback. And so with worship and singing, it's totally possible to worship God on your own. It's totally possible to put a song playlist from Apple on your phone to sing along to it, and you can meet with God, experience the presence of God, be in awe and wonder of God on your own, on your phone. It happens. But there's a dynamic of worship that is only possible when we gather. There's an experience of God that's only possible when the body gathers and when worship is corporate. It's the same difference between Coldplay on your phone and Coldplay in the auditorium with the wristbands on and the music and the sound and the live and all the people singing. And Paul describes this dynamic in Colossians 3, 16 to 17. He talks about what is happening when we sing and what is happening when we sing to God, and he even says singing to one another with grateful hearts. So he says this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach, admonish, kind of correct one another with all wisdom. And then he uses this word through or with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Paul here is describing the spiritual dynamic and richness of a body coming together singing to God, singing with gratitude inside their hearts. It's not an emotional atmosphere, it's a people coming together who are grateful to God. And he says, as you come together with grateful hearts, you are teaching one another. This is all happening through singing. You're teaching one another. You're giving wisdom to one another. You're admonishing and correcting one another. You're encouraging one another. And it's all happening through the singing of psalms for the early church, the singing of hymns, and the singing of songs that were never written before but were inspired and stirred by the Holy Spirit in the context of the body singing. These are things, aren't they, that we associate with flowing out of preaching. Wisdom, encouragement, correcting. And Paul is saying, yeah, in other parts of the Bible he will say preaching, teaching. But in this section he's saying, this is happening through singing. Mm. This is happening through worship of God in a group of people, then it becomes corporate worship. So I want to drill down this morning, what's going on when we sing gratefully? Now, God could have created a world without singing. You know, it's entirely possible God could have created a world without music. He could have. But he didn't. And we love singing. The world loves singing. That's why we go to concerts to see our favourite artist and then sing along. Although, if I'm honest, when I went to see the Human League for the first time, I stood like this. They're there. Rooted on the spot. But there's something dynamic, though, when you join in with the songs and you know the lyrics. When that is about God in amongst his family, that whole experience goes up another level. Singing to God has a special, unique capacity and power to awaken, create, and stir strong affections and excitement. Singing to God with a grateful heart has the capacity to awaken something inside of us and awaken something in one another as we're singing. When we sing songs, we are touched by truth on fire. Can you notice that dynamic when we're singing together and you just sense God's on it? This is not just truth, it's on fire. And that's the gift of singing. Singing awakens our affections, it awakens our excitement, it awakens our delight, it awakens our passion for God. In the moment when a body, a family, a corporate moment of worship comes together in a crescendo of we just love you, I'm delighting in you, what happens in those moments is Jesus gets the run of the house. Have you noticed how many worship times we have? And at the end of the worship time, the desire is, I just want to surrender. I just want to lay it all down. I just want to give my life all over again. I just want to build everything around this Jesus. Because Jesus is causing truth about him to be on fire in the context of a body singing to God with grateful hearts and to one another. And he says it happens through three things: psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So in the early church, they would have sung the psalms. And in fact, the psalms were written, weren't they, in the Old Testament as corporate moments of expression, of singing, singing lament, singing our... In the Psalms, you can find songs where the psalmist is saying, how long, O God? How long, O God? There are songs of praise, and there are songs of thanksgiving. Psalms. So the early church would have sung the songs of David together. And also it describes hymns the church would have been singing. Let's just take one of them, or two of them, in 1 Colossians 15-20, certain thinkers say this was a song they would have sang in the church. He is the image of the invisible God. They're singing it together. The firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have preeminence. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So that's the hymns. There's singing it. There's passion of who Jesus is. Let's do another one, because that just felt fun, actually. Philippians 2, verse 6 to 11. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hymns, they would have sung it. Can you feel the passion? So, and then he uses this phrase, spiritual songs. They're singing the Psalms. They're singing the broad breadth of what it means for a human being to relate to God. They're singing these songs that they would have written that explain who Jesus is and his preeminence and his greatness, celebrating Christ. And then springing up from there, Paul says, songs from the Spirit. So, in this dynamic moment of the family gathering to sing songs, songs that were written, are these songs of the Spirit. So, we're worshipping, we're singing to God, we're delighting in him, we're hearing our brothers and sisters sing all around us, and the Holy Spirit's moving and he's stirring and he's distributing spiritual songs. Songs that have never been written before, not heard before, but they're welling up inside the believers. That's often why we have corporate moments of singing out in what the Bible talks about, tongues or the spirit of other languages, to express our delight to God. That's why sometimes in the moment of corporate worship, you have songs that spring up, spontaneous songs that come from the body, from the band, songs that weren't planned necessarily, but spontaneous things stirred by Holy Spirit, overflowing affection for Jesus in the body. And so when we come together to sing, now some people might need noise cancelling headphones because of medical reasons, but generally we don't put noise cancelling headphones on, do we, when we're here? It's not a silent disco. We want to hear our brothers and sisters and we want to hear them sing. So when we hear the body together sing, you can have it all. You can have it all. We're encouraging one another. There's a dynamic happening between the members of the body. When we hear one another sing, light a fire in my heart that I can't contain, that I can't control, the temperature goes up. And we can have that moment on our own. But when we're together, 40, 50, 60 people all singing together, you can have it all. You can have it all. Light a fire in my heart that I can't contain. What's happening? We're strengthened when we hear the body sing. We're strengthened in corporate worship. We get strength from God, but we're also getting strength, spiritual strength, from one another. Grace is flowing from believer to believer to believer in the context of corporate worship. So we might come through the door in a place maybe of joy. We've had a great week with God and we've had lots of great things happening. Another person can come in through the door in sorrow. Another person can walk in health. Another person might come in with sickness. But when we're coming in, whether we're suffering or we're strong, when we participate in singing as a sacrifice of praise, bringing our grateful hearts to God for who he is and what he's done and what he promises to do, our restoration of relationship, our joy of walking through him with him every day, we dynamically encourage one another in the singing. So when we hear the body sing, even when I don't feel it, you're working. When we look at everything, we feel like Elijah after Mount Carmel and we think I'm the only one left and he feels like he wants to die. In those moments, we can be lifted up by a God still small voice. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Amen. And it's coming from brother to sister in the context of corporate worship. Paul says, with all wisdom. In other words, there's spiritual common sense coming from the body. Of course we know he's still working even when I don't see it. We know that. But it's in the body that the spiritual common sense comes to us, corrects us, admonishes us, and strengthens us. And our spirit comes alive in this moment with the family. We might make decisions. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what it costs. He's worth it. Because even when I don't feel it, he's working. You can have it all. Light a fire in my heart that I can't contain, that I can't control. It's happening in corporate worship. It's a dynamic thing. That's why God gives us a family. So in these verses, Paul is saying, through singing, we see Jesus for who he really, really, really is. And we experience God. We heard it this morning. God dwells where his people praise him. So while we're worshipping, singing, we're anticipating Jesus, have the rule of the house, both in me and around me and through me. I want to meet with you. So singing isn't just coming to God and singing, just hoping he hears. He comes into these moments and we experience the manifest presence of God. Now God's always present. The Bible says he's omnipresent. David says in Psalm 139, wherever I go, you are. And so he's everywhere. He's with us all the time. He can't not be with us. But there are times where we experience the manifest presence of God, where we just know he's there. And so as we participate in these corporate moments of worship, the message about Jesus creates awe, wonder, devotion, surrender. We encounter God himself. The Holy Spirit becomes tangible. He's here. And what's fun to ask is, Holy Spirit, what are you here to do? What are you here to say? What are you here to particularly reveal about Jesus? Because he comes in the room in many, many different ways. Sometimes in worship, he comes in to romance the bride with unconditional love. We've had times here where we've just smelt roses in the room, the fragrance of his love. Sometimes he comes in the room and says, actually, I've got a particular assignment to heal a particular sickness. Somebody comes alive with a word of knowledge. It's wonderful to ask Holy Spirit, what is it you would like to do this morning? Often, in these moments of corporate passion for Jesus, which are now spilling over as spiritual songs, in my experience, the Holy Spirit in these moments is distributing the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. So in the moment where we're lifting up and adoring him and it's overflowing as spiritual songs, it's overflowing as tongues, it's overflowing as devotion, in those moments, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, the dancing hand of God distributes gifts. Distributes mountain-moving surges of faith that you just know because you know because you know he's going to do it. He moves with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, with tongues and interpretation, with prophecy that comforts, encourages, and exhorts people in those moments. He distributes them. They're called grace gifts, gifts of the Spirit given by grace. So they're gratis, they're free, no one deserves them. So in those moments when we're worshipping and you feel the Holy Spirit stirring, you can ask him and say, can I have one of those gifts, please? I don't say it has to be in this order, that we have to get to some kind of high point, then he moves. Actually, you can get the gifts of the Spirit when it feels deadly dull and you feel dead, because they're grace, they're not based on our feelings, but I do believe they're based on our expectation and anticipation, and they do tend to come when we turn our face and say, what are you doing? Will you distribute a gift to me to strengthen the people around me? So we can ask now, Holy Spirit, I pray for each one of us here for a a greater anticipation and expectation of being stirred by the Holy Spirit to move in the gifts of the Spirit that unlock situations and change things. I pray for a great release of words of knowledge for particular situations and circumstances. I pray for the prophetic that encourages and comforts and exhorts. I pray for mountain-moving surges of faith. Pray for gifts of healing and miracles. And pray for gifts of tongues and interpretation that would come to us. And actually, if you had never received the gift of the tongues, Paul talks about this gift of the Spirit that is enables us to deep calling to deep. You simply ask God and he gives it. He's faithful and he does just gives these gifts. I remember being 18, new to church, never heard anything. Someone in church spoke in a tongue. I thought, what on earth is that? My mum said this is a spiritual gift. I thought, that sounds good. Went home, asked and got it. I don't think we have to... It doesn't have to be complicated in the sense of he wants to give them, then we open our mouth and flow with the very, very first things that come into our mouth. Mm. So closing, Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These moments of worship, these corporate moments of truth, of adoration, of truth on fire, of living encounters with Jesus, these moments we have on a Sunday, the moments we have on a Wednesday, not just the moments we create, you can create these moments in your own home of worshiping with others. In these moments we receive grace, and it's corporate worship that can shape our Monday to Friday. It's corporate worship that causes us to encounter Jesus in the body. And that encounter becomes an overflow wherever we go and whatever we do. So that all of our life becomes a representation of Jesus to the people around us. So that we walk around with the peace of God. So that we walk around with a grateful heart. So that we walk around with a sense of the manifest presence that we've seen cultivated through these decisions to be amongst the body. And so whatever we do, whether a word or deed, in our job, in our commute, in our on-the-phone moments, everything of life becomes this overflow moment of presenting the world to the world Jesus. And a huge gift of that is corporate worship. Singing to God with gratitude, singing to be heard by one another, that causes truth to be on fire, that ignites faith and confidence in God and greater trust. So Jesus, I want to pray. I just want to really honour the worship team. I want to honour Joe. I want to honour Ash. I want to honour Gary and Yinka and Rochelle and Femi, who's not here. Hope I've not missed anybody out. Shout if I have. I want to honour these guys who week after week learn songs, turn up early, practice, to help facilitate a moment where the body can sing to one another and have truth on fire. We're so grateful for you. I'm so grateful that you serve God in the ways that you do. I want to thank you for the unique reality that we get to enjoy every single week and midweek. That's a real gift and grace to us. I just believe part of our unique gift to the world is our worship. It's our purpose of singing. You know, we're so grateful for you that we get to experience this all the time. It's a beautiful thing to be in a community that says we want to build everything around adoring the Lord Jesus. That everything we are, everything we do, we want to start with Jesus, be in the center of everything. We want to adore you, be grateful for you, love on you, worship you, appreciate you, bow to you, surrender to you, value you, thank you for everything you've done, everything you do, everything you are doing, everything you want to do in our hearts and lives. We love you so, so much. We just say you are beautiful and wonderful. We thank you for every individual story. Thank you for even reminding us this morning of how you pursue us and you go after us, that you leave the 99 and go after the one. You're like the woman who sweeps the house looking for one coin, won't rest until you've got it. And then when you find it, throw a party for everyone to celebrate what you found. We feel like we've experienced that this morning. And we want to thank you, God. We want to thank you for your immense love. Thank you for this relationship with you. Thank you that, God, we get to be friends with God, that we get to be sons and daughters of the living God, that we get to be co-heirs with Christ, that we get to have the same intimate relationship with the Father that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had while he was on earth. We get to walk with you and talk with you. We get to receive from you. We get to have grace from you, that you're with us. You said you'll never leave us on your own because you'll send the friend, the Holy Spirit. So thank you, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we're saying in word and deed, you're with us in our Monday to Friday. And we pray for our world, for the men and the women out there who have no idea that God is so good and loves so passionately and has done everything for everyone to become friends of God. A fresh start, a clean heart, a new beginning as a pure gift, a reconciled relationship with God. And we want to pray for our world. We want to pray for the people we rub shoulders with every single day, for the desperate, for the hopeless, for those who don't even know they're hopeless, which is even more terrible. To be hopeless and not know it is the most hopeless place you can be in. And so, God, we pray for all of the people we come in contact with, in our workplaces, in our offices, on our commute, that we would see them with the eyes of Jesus, that you go after the lost, that you go after people that they might be found. We pray for prodigals to come home. We pray for people to wake up and come to their senses and come home to the love of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.